Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson, and this week we've got Steve Merchant from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to talk about what you can expect during the opening weekend of the gun deer season here in Minnesota. Plus, Meg Christensen from Grand Rapids explains what you can do at the Governor's Deer Opener. We'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty to talk about what this cold weather is doing to our waterfowl migration. Give you a hint, it's not good. And Joe Henry has the latest from Lake of the Woods. Now, this week's show is brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground on Devil's Lake, Mid-Migration Outfitters offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota, and Lake of the Woods Tourism. Get the Lake of the Woods Fishing Report anytime at sportingjournalradio.com. Now, this weekend, hundreds of thousands of hunters will hit the woods in search of the number one game animal in Minnesota, the white-tailed deer. How should this season fare? Well, Steve Merchant from the Minnesota DNR joins us now on the show. Steve, how are things?
Good, thanks. I'm happy to be on and to talk about the deer season.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And if you had one word to describe how the hunting should be this weekend, what word would you use?
I think I'd choose the word better. Oh. I think our deer herd has grown. Hunters are going to see more deer. And as long as this weather doesn't get too bad, I think that they're going to have a better season this year.
Well, this weather, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think a little dusting of snow on the ground is good for deer hunters. Of course, some areas up to the north have had more than a dusting, but here in western Minnesota, we've just had a little bit of snow here and there. For the most part, sounds like we got more coming, but a little snow should help some of those hunters out there, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that a little bit of snow is helpful, but what we worry about is if we get a lot of snow, it limits access and really cold weather, you know, limits the amount of time people can spend in the woods and fields hunting, and that can depress deer harvest a bit. So we're hoping we hit that sweet spot of some, everybody likes a little bit of snow, but we don't want too much snow.
Well, this weather, as somebody like I guide waterfowl, I like to hunt waterfowl. The season is going strong. It's been a pretty good season so far, but everything's freezing up now. And, you know, we start talking about getting a lot of snow at the beginning of November here and things freezing up. The waterfowl season not only is going to go quick, but if we have a long, cold winter, I mean, from your perspective at the DNR, you got to think, man, we're finally on the upswing with our deer herd. We had a couple of hard winters a few years ago and, you know, it really took a toll on our animals, but we're finally starting to, you know, rebuild that herd. We don't want a long, cold winter here, do we?
No, we don't. In the deer world, particularly in Minnesota at northern latitude, I like to say that Mother Nature always bats last, and winter severity has a very significant impact on our deer herd, and we really can't manage our way out of that. When we get severe winters or back-to-back severe winters, it will depress our deer herd.
Yeah, and that obviously happened. I mean, I think there were some other factors involved too, but boy, you guys sure got the blame for the deer numbers going down, but there's nothing you can do about like heavy snowfalls, you know, deep snow and cold winters, can you?
No, we can't. You know, we can try to provide the best habitat available to deer and other wildlife out there. But again, at those kind of extreme levels, we just know that it will negatively impact that deer population. And then beyond that, then you need to get really conservative in how you harvest deer in the following years. So that's kind of what then even, you know, that depresses a deer harvest, which frustrates people.
Yeah, and obviously we've gone through that in the last few years. But Steve Merchant, our guest here from the Minnesota DNR Sporting Journal Radio, as you said a couple of minutes ago, it could be a better season this year because the numbers have been growing. The deer herd has been faring pretty well this year, hasn't it, Steve?
It has, and we're very optimistic about that. We have seen, you know, we have had a series of mild winters here, and we have had really conservative harvest regulations. So this year, you know, we're opening that up a little bit, and I think that hunters are going to take advantage of that, and we're likely to see the best harvest that we've seen maybe since 2010.
What is the harvest goal for this year?
Well, we don't have a goal, but what we are predicting that we're going to see a harvest right around 200,000 deer.
200,000. Okay. Now, why isn't there a goal? Because there isn't a population goal either, right? Why isn't there goals set by the DNR?
Well, each one of our deer permit areas across the state, and there's about 128 of them, each one of those does have a deer density goal. So if you're in permit area, and these are just makeup numbers, but you know, if you're in deer permit area 155, we'll have a deer population density goal of say between 12 and 14 deer.
Okay, so we do
have that.
Population goals. Okay, so harvest
right.
goals.
And in the future, we will have a annual harvest objective. That's something that our committee that's helping us with our deer plan, advising us and giving us recommendations on our deer plan, that they have said that they would like to see that harvest objective. And so we are going to provide that in the future.
So tell our listeners about the deer plan and where we're at with it right now.
Well, we've been working hard. Our citizen advisory group, they've been committing a lot of time and effort on their part as volunteers, and which we greatly appreciate. And we're kind of getting to the point of concluding our work with them. We've just got a couple more meetings to go, and then we need to. We're in the phase of actually putting pen to paper and actually drafting a copy of that deer plan so we get it out to the public for their review.
Okay, so we don't really know too many of the details of what might be in that plan aren't public necessarily right now.
Well, no, the public can keep track of where we are in the process on our website, but we've been had a lot of really good discussions. We have some good ideas, but it is kind of, you know, time to get down to the brass tacks, so to speak, and make some decisions on you know, how we're going to manage the deer in the next 10 years and get that down on paper.
Can you give us some ideas what kind of changes might be coming or how or what might come out of that deer plan, what our possibilities are?
Well, I think the one thing that we've heard loud and clear here is that people want to be more engaged and have more input into what is going on with our deer and deer hunting season. So I think that you're going to see more efforts to engage the public through various ways. And I think that we're also hearing that people want more information about deer and deer management. So it's likely that we're going to have to make some investments in better communicating the information that we have about deer so that the public can share in that.
One thing I've seen happen in other states, say Wisconsin does this, there's always a survey that the hunters take, and it's, you know, how many deer did you see today? What was the weather like? How many hours were you in the stand? Could you see something like that being implemented in Minnesota?
Well, in fact, this fall we are implementing a bow hunter survey. So we are doing that, and that definitely is something new for Minnesota.
Sure. Well, go ahead,
right.
Steve. Go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say that we do a lot of surveying of the public, but I think that we very well could be doing more of that.
Sure. I hear that from a lot of people, you know, that they hunt in other states, and it seems like they're the eyes in the woods all the time. And of course, you know, some people may embellish things or maybe aren't completely honest. So I'm sure there's a plus or minus in some of those surveys. But I think for the most part, people want to see a healthy deer herd and see it managed the right way and are willing to help when they can and offer input where they can. So and you know it as much as anybody, I'm sure everybody has an opinion on how to manage the deer in Minnesota.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And those opinions vary widely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, Steve Merchant is our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio. We've got more with Steve coming up. We'll also talk to Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters about where we're at with the waterfowl migration and what this cold weather is doing to it. Plus, Meg Christensen is one of the people in charge of the governor's deer opening festivities taking place this weekend in Grand Rapids. She's going to give us the latest on what's going on up there and maybe what you can be a part of if you want to. And Joe Henry will give us the latest from Lake of the Woods as well on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. All right, we're back here on Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. We want to welcome our listeners once again back in Fergus Falls. We're happy to have the show back on here in Fergus Falls as part of the Sporting Journal Radio Network. You can listen on demand at sportingjournalradio.com or podcast it and subscribe to it in your iTunes. Our guest right now is Steve Merchant from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. As thousands of hunters across the state take to the woods in search of whitetail, we wanted to talk to Steve about just what kind of a season we might have here in Minnesota for the deer hunters that are out there and what might be new this year, what might be new in the coming years. As we talked before the break about the upcoming deer plan, we hopefully will see. Steve, when do you think we'll see that deer? When did you say we'll see the details about that deer plan?
Well, we're hoping to get a draft out for public comment here after the new year. Exactly when, I'm not sure. Our deer committee definitely, they've been enjoying the conversations that we've had, and they still want to stay engaged a bit. We had originally thought that we were going to conclude the work with them. I think December was going to be our last meeting. But I think that they've indicated to us they'd like a couple more, so we're going to do that and make sure that we're hearing them. And so I can't tell you off the top of my head exactly when that's going to be out there. I know that we are anxious to get it done, but these things do take time if you do them right. And so it'll be coming after the new year.
Well, and I think everyone will agree that nobody wants you to rush it. I mean, everybody, I'm sure, is anxious to see what the plan's going to be about. But you're right, these things do take time, and something as important as managing deer in this state where so many people are passionate about whitetails in Minnesota. And like we talked about, everybody has opinions on how it should be done. You want to make sure you take your time and do it right. And as we also mentioned, that having public input, it will probably be a part of this deer plan moving forward. And I think if nothing else, that has to appease just the fact that, hey, we're here, we're going to manage the deer, and we're going to listen to what you got to say about it. Of course, you can't please everybody when you do decide to make the regulations on how to manage these deer, Steve, but you got to think that just having the door open, so to speak, listening to what these people have to say, is going to make things easier moving forward.
Right, and we certainly want to make it easy for people to let us know what they're thinking about deer and deer management. The challenging part is, as you've alluded to, is that those opinions, you know, are quite varied, and human nature is such that people, you know, would prefer to see it the way that they would like it, and when that doesn't happen, it can frustrate or anger people. And that's the hard part, is how do you take 100 individual voices and turn it into a single voice? And that's challenging.
So how are you going to get that done? Because if you have a system, if you know how you're going to do it, you'd probably be a very rich man.
Well, you know, we've always said that, ultimately it's our job to write the deer plan, and the public input is advising us that. So we're gonna have to make some hard decisions. Because we know some people won't be happy and others will. That's just the way it is.
So do you foresee one of those ways of just giving a public input from hunters? We talked a little bit about having surveys from hunters. Is it going to be like public input meetings like we've seen in the past few years? Or are you still trying to work out how that's going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be a whole suite of different tools. So it'll probably be all of those things, and we're even thinking about one idea is that we will have an ongoing citizen advisory committee that can also be a voice for folks that we can work directly with them, and they can help us figure out how to make contact with people, and it's another group that can sort of mull over some of these more divisive issues, and we can ask them, well, you know, how about you guys trying to, you know, give us a recommendation, and let them share in that ownership a little bit about that difficulty of trying to come up with a single answer for many voices.
Right. Steve Merchant, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about deer hunting, deer management in the state of Minnesota. We just have a couple of minutes left here, Steve. I wanted to talk about chronic wasting disease with you before we get off the phone, because that's obviously a very important topic, and it's something that I know in the last couple of years the DNR has made it a priority, especially down there in the Southeast. How is the fight with CWD going right now?
Well, it certainly is a top priority for us, and it's hard to think of a bigger challenge facing deer management in Minnesota than the threat of chronic wasting disease. It's a real game changer. So, we got our whole staff pretty much all hands on deck this weekend to do an extensive amount of sampling for chronic wasting disease. We have pretty significant portions of the state where we have a mandatory testing for the weekend, and that information is critical. What we learned from that to guide our future management decisions.
Some people aren't real happy about the way it's being done in the Southeast, where they feel like too many deer are going to be killed as part of this, but you feel that you almost have to sacrifice some of those deer. A short-term sacrifice is better for the long-term, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair characterization. Some people are going to experience some pain because we need to, number one, figure out where this disease is and the extent of it. And there is a density-dependent aspect to this disease. In other words, you know, if you have more deer, you're likely to have more transmission. So managing in a population at a level that's perhaps lower than what some people would like is part of this. And certainly the other compounding factor that's difficult for people is that the incident rates of chronic wasting disease and, you know, older bucks is higher. So, and as you know, and likely most of your listeners know, we've been trying really hard in the Southeast to implement some regulations that would allow that adult age class of bucks to be a little bit more prevalent on the landscape, and in some ways that's in a bit of a conflict with CWD management.
Sure. The APR program down there seems to be something that people have really gotten to enjoy and seem to really like down there. So when it comes, let me ask you this question, because we just have a minute or two left here. But how does the DNR feel? What's the DNR's position on captive cervid farms? And do they feel that they're kind of a main culprit in this spread of chronic wasting disease? Or what's the position of the DNR?
Well, you know, it's difficult for me to represent the feelings of the DNR. What I can say is that we certainly are very concerned about chronic wasting disease in captive cervids. And I think that we all agree that that there are certainly ways that we can improve things to ensure that if, in fact, there is chronic wasting disease in some of these captive facilities, that it does not get out of that facility and infect the wild deer population. So I think that we're certainly very supportive and advocate for things like double fencing and tighter tighter reporting requirements and those kind of things. I can't really tell you, in all honesty, I'm not even sure we have a department position on captive cervid facilities in the past. I mean, that battle, if you will, was fought in the legislature back in the 90s, I believe. At that time, we certainly spoke up and shared our concerns, and it didn't really go our way, so to speak. So it's an established industry. They have and they have all the things that go along with that, and it's a challenge.
Well, I appreciate the time today. It is a pair of shoes I'm not sure I would want to fill to manage the state's deer herd here in Minnesota, or any state for that matter, because it's such an important job and so many different opinions coming at you on a daily basis from so many people that are passionate about deer hunting. So I appreciate you coming on and clearing a few things up and kind of previewing the season. Hopefully you're right. Hopefully it is a good season for our deer hunters out there this weekend. Steve Merchant from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. It was fun.
Yeah, you bet. Coming up, we got Tony Crotty. We'll talk waterfowl. We'll talk more deer with Meg Christensen from Grand Rapids, where the Governor's Deer Hunt Deer Opener is taking place this weekend. And Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods will let us know what the walleyes are biting on. It's all on the way. Sporting Journal Radio.
Start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HaybaleHeights.com. That's HaybaleHeights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online and on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, and of course by subscribing and podcasting in iTunes. And of course, we welcome back our listeners in the Fergus Falls area. We've been in Fergus Falls for quite a while, and then there was some changes there, but we're happy to report we are back on in Fergus Falls right now, so thanks for tuning in. Our next guest, Joe Henry, up at Lake of the Woods. Joe, this cold weather, I mean, I know you like fall fishing, but boy, this has got to mean some earlier ice fishing this year.
It's, people are talking about when we're going to get first ice, and, you know, normally we get fish houses out around mid-December. You know, some years, if we get a cold blast that stays consistent, like this could, you know, we could actually get fish houses out early December, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I can't. Gosh, you know, I'm looking forward to ice fishing. Don't get me wrong, but I want some of my fall back. I'm not ready to give up on fall yet, Joe.
You know, the funny thing is we can't control it anyway. So it is what it is. And you know, I think as outdoors people, you know, we make the best of it no matter what it is. And whether it's hunting or fishing, we're going to find something to do out in the outdoors.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I've talked to a lot of people this weekend that would probably be waterfowl hunting, because normally during the gun deer season like this, this can be some of the best waterfowl hunting. It'd also be some of the best fishing out there. But I know a lot of guys that would probably be chasing ducks and geese that have said, you know, I might actually go deer hunting this weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, you figure a lot of the ponds and even some of the bays are starting to get ice on them, and it's been chilly. And I would bet a lot of those ducks and geese have already blasted through.
We've lost a lot of birds, but I think, you know, when you get weather like this, it can push a lot of birds in. And if you got if a lot of the smaller ponds are frozen up, some of that big water, you might congregate a lot of ducks and geese. So hunting can get really good. So that's what we're kind of hoping, that it's going to get really good before they all disappear.
And how many times have you been in a tree stand and see big mallards landing nearby, or hear the whistling of wings over your head?
Oh, Joe, I probably told this story a million times, but I'll make it brief. I was bow hunting up by Moorhead a few years back, and I had a big buck, big 12-pointer with split brow tines on the trail camera that I'd been hunting, and I'd passed on a lot of smaller bucks. I'd seen does everywhere, and I'd been hunting this deer hard all bow season. And then opening morning of gun season, I'm sitting in the stand, and there's a group of guys in the woods next to me, and there's gunshots going off. I can hear guys on cell phones. I can hear tree stands banging, and I'm like, this is not going to be a good morning for deer hunting. These deer are going to be in the next county. And there's literally, Joe, thousands of ducks and geese landing in the pond next to me. So what do? I climb down at 11 o'clock. I go duck hunting. I throw some decoys out on the pond, middle of the day. I shoot 4 ducks and 2 Canada geese, grab some lunch, go climb back up in the stand, and don't see any deer the rest of the day. And I climb down and I see the guys that are hunting next to me. So I go over and kind of just have a little talk with them after hunting, ask them how things went. And like, oh man, my brother here missed the biggest buck of his life. I said, really? And I showed him a picture of this big buck that I've been hunting. And he goes, yep, that's the deer. He's like, yeah, I took 5 shots at him and just couldn't hit him. You know, he was running, and he actually ran right under your stand.
Oh, no.
So when I climbed down to go shoot those ducks and geese, that buck of a lifetime, that giant buck that I've been hunting, ran right underneath my stand.
Unbelievable. You know, I tell you, it's an unbelievable story. You know, it's funny, though. You know, what's the old saying about big bucks is that you got 100 times better chance of getting a big buck during the rut, or in some cases when there's a lot of traffic in the woods that are pushing those deer.
Yeah, for sure. And this is, you know, right before the gun season is my favorite time to bow hunt, and bucks were definitely, you know, on the move chasing does. I saw a lot of nice deer get taken, and I'm sure this weekend we're going to see some really nice deer taken as well. I'll be goose hunting, but hopefully I'll get in those woods to do some deer hunting. And Joe, that's something we never really talk about around Lake of the Woods, is there's a lot of deer hunting that goes on up there too, isn't there?
There's a lot of deer hunting. Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of public hunting, but you know, really, you know, so much of what you hear about up there is the tradition of deer hunting with family groups and friends and things getting together for deer hunting camp. And it's a big deal. I mean, people are excited about it. It's tradition. It's a Minnesota tradition. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of big deer. There's a lot of deer, period, up at Lake of the Woods. And, you know, it really kind of gets overlooked, which is fine. I mean, you know, if people want to go hunting, deer hunting up at Lake of the Woods, there's plenty of public land, and the resorts are a bargain in November. I'll tell you, you can stay at them really cheap. But there's plenty of deer around, you bet.
I bet. And I bet you could get into one of those resorts pretty cheap right now, but pretty soon it's going to be ice fishing season. I'm sure when people are thinking of Lake of the Woods right now, they're thinking of getting their ice fishing trip booked. And it's kind of fun. There's a lot of sleepers out on that lake, isn't there, Joe?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, there's day houses and there's sleepers. You know, day house is a fish house that you go to just for the day, and then you sleep on shore. And then you got a sleeper fish house. And of course, that's where you have typically bunk beds in there, and you can actually sleep overnight. It's like ice camping, Brett. And you get the right group of people, the right group of friends or family, or or whatever the case might be. And, you know, you bring your own food out. You can have some meals of fish while you're out there. Some of them, all of them almost have stoves, propane stoves. Some actually have ovens. You can do some baking in them with pizzas. And some people even bring out cookies and stuff to bake. And it's just, you know, you're out there amongst the cold on the ice, sleeping overnight. It's super cold outside, but it's 70 degrees and cozy on the inside. You can wake up and fish walleyes in your slippers. I mean, it's just a fun deal if you got the right crew.
It is fun. And the last time I did that, Joe, we made it a point to try to catch eel pout in the evening. And then we cooked up eel pout while we were out there in the house.
Poor man's lobster, baby. You know, and I'll tell you, when you catch those eel pout, you know, you take the back straps off and then you can take some of the tail meat. And then I'll tell you, you cube it and you boil it in either 7-Up or salt water and then dip it in melted butter. And I'll tell you what, man, it is a delicacy.
It is. It is good. All right, Joe. Well, now is the time to book that ice fishing trip to Lake of the Woods. Where do they find out more information if they want to get up there?
Check out our sleeper fish houses, our resorts, everything else at our website. And that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters here on Sporting Journal Radio. Tony, we've got some ducks and geese around, but there's no question this colder weather, I mean, weather events like we've had will move some birds through, but if everything starts freezing up, you run in the risk of having everything move through too quick.
Yeah, birds start to push through. They get kicked off all that small water that they're normally on, you know, flooded spots or little ponds, and usually either push out to big water or rivers or move out of the area.
And honestly, as long as that big water stays open, you can have some great hunting.
Correct. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're going to be, you know, transferring over to is big water hunts. And unless it gets warm again and everything opens back up and the ducks find it again, that's where we'll be the rest of the season.
Seems like this is a little early to be talking about this stuff.
Yeah, this is early, you know, compared to the last couple of years. We've definitely, this is way earlier than our normal freeze up time, but I think I think stuff will change. It'll warm back up.
This is the time for ice eaters.
Yeah. Starting to think about that. Yeah. Get the ice eaters going. And but that's if stuff stays froze. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we did notice that this week. We had some of the smaller ponds and flooded spots in the fields had frozen over. And then after a couple of days, some of those kind of opened back up a little bit.
Yeah, some are starting to break open. And then we're supposed to get some big winds over the next couple of weeks here, too. And this week they're calling for big wind. That'll kick all that ice open and stuff will open back up. And as long as the temps stay above, you know, 35, 40 degrees during the day, we should be fine.
For the second year in a row, we've been seeing a lot of mallards come through this area.
Yeah, we're just covered up in them. Seen a couple big swarms of them tonight when we're out scouting around and try and chase them down the next couple days here, and should be good for mallards throughout the rest of the season.
We've been seeing a lot of geese around, a lot of geese migrating. Some come in, some go out, but it seems like they're playing that follow the leader game right now.
Yeah, they're starting to act like refuge birds, so that's what they do out here. And yep, they'll come off the refuge and follow the first flock, and if you're not where that first flock's going, then things can be kind of tough from time to time, but that's just one of the things we have to deal with.
So we've got clients we're guiding here this weekend, and then here early next week, we're taking a trip to South Dakota.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. Get out there. We're going to go out and chase mallards or snow geese or Canadas or whatever we can get our hands on, but hope to find some different birds that we're normally used to shooting here.
I'm not going to lie, Tony. We're in the truck with Tony Crotty, by the way, from Mid-Migration Outfitters. I'm pretty excited to target some snow geese here in the fall for a change.
Yeah, it's something that we haven't really got to do, being, you know, we've been so busy, but this year we blocked some time aside so we could get out and chase after them, and hopefully they're there when, you know, the timing's right when we get there.
I thought we might shoot a few here this fall, but literally it's been since opening day. Opening day, when I told you to bring out the one snow goose full body, because what did we see? We saw one snow goose winging around in a flock of Canadas, and that's about the only snow we've seen when we've been hunting out here, but guys have been shooting snows in North Dakota, so hopefully they'll be down into South Dakota by the time we get there next week. And then in just a couple short months, we're going to be in Missouri.
Yeah, we'll be already gearing up for that, going through the snow goose decoys, things like that, getting orders put in. We'll be down in Missouri chasing snows right around the 1st of February.
Yeah, a couple of weeks in Missouri, and then March in South Dakota. So if you want to come hunt with us, dates are getting booked up already for next spring, aren't they?
Yep. People are already calling, getting their dates booked. You know, they want to get them certain ones that people like. So if anybody's looking to get out, get a hold of us sooner than later, and we'll get you set up.
MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Tony Crotty, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been In the Truck with Tony Crotty from MidMigration Outfitters. Coming up on Sporting Journal Radio, we're heading up to Grand Rapids with Megan Christensen. She's the executive director of Visit Grand Rapids, where the governor's deer opener is taking place this weekend. We'll find out just what's happening in their neck of the woods next. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network. Heard all over the state of Minnesota, in Wisconsin, North Dakota. And now we're back on in Fergus Falls. We want to welcome our listeners back that are listening in the Fergus Falls area. You can also podcast it and subscribe to it in iTunes or listen on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. I'm Brett Amundson. And now we're going to go up to Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where there's all sorts of festivities going on this weekend. The governor is up there. It's the governor's deer opener, and Megan Christensen is the executive director of Visit Grand Rapids. She joins us on the radio show right now. Megan, I'm sure you're very excited about this weekend, but I bet at this point you're kind of excited for it to be over with.
You know, I'm not going to lie. These events are a love-hate relationship. It's like there's so much that goes into them. And the one thing that you can never control is Mother Nature. And wouldn't you know, she's giving us about 5 inches of snow today. So we'll have the plows out first thing in the morning, ready to go.
Yeah, that, you know, this weather, I mean, I don't mind winter, but I love fall. And I'm not ready to give up on fall yet. What's going on?
I know. You know, we need to cool the colder temps before we get a lot of snow, because otherwise our bogs don't freeze solid. And so much of our snowmobile trails rely on crossing those bog areas. So we're hopeful that the snow is not, it doesn't produce too many inches, and that we get colder weather so we can freeze those bogs really good.
Boy, it's so funny that you say that, because how different is life in northern Minnesota versus, say, southern Minnesota, where, boy, we hope it gets colder first so our lakes freeze up so we can go ice fishing. Go up to northern Minnesota. I hope our bogs freeze up first.
Yep. But
yeah, boy, that's definitely a challenge. I mean, this weather is really screwing a whole lot of things up. But, you know, as I talked about with Steve Merchant from the DNR, a little bit of snow on the ground can make it a good weekend for the deer hunters, though.
Oh, I think the deer hunters are going to love it. It's easier to track deer. I think that, you know, as long as it doesn't accumulate too many inches on the ground, which we're supposed to fall in that 3 to 5 inches. So it's coming down really good right now, but it's supposed to stop around 9 o'clock. So, you know, our plows will be out first thing in the morning, and I think it'll be good for the event. It'll be good for the deer hunters. So it's all good.
So I'm about 3 hours west of the Twin Cities, near north of Montevideo, Minnesota, and we haven't really gotten any snow, any measurable snow. It's been mostly just dustings. But there, how have you guys fared for snow so far this year?
So we have 2 inches on the ground now.
Okay.
And like I said, out of this storm, we're supposed to get 3 to 5 inches.
It's just ridiculous that we're talking about this much snow. It's just barely November. Come on, Mother Nature, throw me a bone here. Jeez. Megan Christensen, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio here. She's the executive director of Visit Grand Rapids, where the governor's deer opener is this weekend. And we briefly alluded to it at the beginning of the interview. These events are a lot of work, and they basically start right after last year's, well, I should say they start before last year's governor's deer opener, because you guys probably put in an application for this a couple of years ago.
We did. We did. So the process starts when you bid on the event, and these statewide governor events. So there's the opening fishing, pheasant and deer hunting. And we put a bid on this actually last fall, early last fall. So like end of August, beginning of September. And we've started planning. We've been planning since then. And today we stuffed 150 welcome bags. We have 340 coming to the dinner. So, you know, regardless of what Mother Nature brings to us, we're ready for whatever comes our way.
Sure, sure. So has the governor's deer opener been there before?
The last time we hosted it was 2004 and is under the Pawlenty administration.
Okay, sure, sure. All right, well, talk about just some of this. I mean, it's a big deal. I don't think people always realize just how much goes into these things and just what all can be done, because there's a lot of things that, say, the general public can stop by and take part in, right?
Definitely. So we have horse-drawn wagon rides. We have a log sawing competition with the Forest History Center. We have about 10 activity stations. We have shooting like air rifle, laser rifle, archery. We have 4-H there. We have ATVAM with an ATV simulator.
Nice. And then, of course, the hunting gets started on Saturday, and everybody will be in the woods.
Saturday morning. Yep.
So is there anything going on Saturday in town there?
Saturday, this weekend every year is our craft shows, and we also have a bazaars. And then this year we have Stomp. The Broadway production has three shows between Friday night and Saturday night. And so there's a lot going on in town. Not so much happening with the deer opener. The deer opener really is the media and the hunter hosts are out hunting. And then for the non-hunters, then we have the craft shows, the bazaars, the holiday open houses, and then the Stomp performance at the Rife Center.
So tell me a little bit about Grand Rapids for somebody listening out there that says, you know, I'm looking for a new place to deer hunt or fish or maybe snowmobile. Is there some areas that somebody could come up there and do some of these things?
Oh, definitely. So in Itasca County, which Grand Rapids is the seat of, we have 1,007 lakes. Of those lakes, about 75% have bass, great bass fishing. They're known for crappie, for panfish, for walleye, for northern, for muskies, for trout. So we have just about any type of fishing that you would want to do. And then as far as hunting, we have over 1 million acres of public accessible land.
Wow.
Part of that is the county, the state, and then UPM Blend and Paper Company open up their acres. So it's a public accessible acres. So over 1 million acres of that for hunting, for hiking. And then also we have over 2,000 miles of snowmobile trail, and we have 400 miles of ATV trail. And then we just opened up all of our county roads for ATVs as well.
Wow.
So lots of outdoor recreation.
Sure. Wow. That's great. 1 million acres of publicly accessible land now.
Yes.
And all those trails and everything. Is there a way we can find out where that land is or how?
Yep. So Itasca County has a hunt map. It's a hiking and hunt map, and it lays all the parcels out, and it shows what accessible acres are open in the county. So there's tracts of land. You'll see the different parcels of land, and they'll show you that on, and you just go to Itasca County, and it's their hunt and hike map, and it is free.
Okay. And is that something you can get online?
Yep. And you can also get it on our website. If you go to visitgrandrapids.com and go under the do tab, our do tab is all of our outdoor activities, and go to the hunting section, and there will be a map, Itasca County hiking and hunting map. So they can click on that.
Is the governor going to be in a stand this weekend?
It doesn't sound like he'll be hunting, but he will be at the event.
Okay. All right. You know, I always see him at the pheasant opener, and it seems like when he can get out, he can. I know he's been having some problems with his health and with his leg and everything. So I know he didn't always get out there, but I was curious if he was going to get out there and try to get himself some venison, some back straps. But what do you think? The other guys, have they been seeing a lot of deer? Have the bow hunters been having a good year up there?
Yeah, so our deer numbers are up in the county. So we're very excited to see that, you know, statewide, there's going to be 500,000 deer hunters. So, you know, Itasca County has been faring well for numbers, but this year they say their counts are up. So that is very favorable to anybody that is coming up here to hunt.
Well, what about, for your snowmobile trails, you got to be pretty excited about this snow, actually.
Yeah, so we have almost 3,000 miles of snowmobile trails. So we're very excited. They say we're supposed to have above average snowfall this year. So all of our resorts are gearing up. Those that are open all winter, they're gearing up to host as many snowmobilers that want to come up. So, you know, they're definitely doing a snow dance. And, and you know, for them, this snow is okay. We just need to get the colder temperatures so that our lakes and bogs do freeze over, because many of our trails, they cross those open water marks.
Sure, sure. And I was just going to ask you about that. What are along the trails? I mean, are there do people do loops? Do they do runs? Do they stop at places, grab burgers, or can a guy go up and do some fishing along the way?
Yeah, so we have all of the above. So the one thing that's nice about our trails is, one, we have the statewide Taconite Trail that you can access. So that gets you east and west. We have 13 snowmobile clubs in our county. So they all have like loop trails, and then the Taconite obviously is a straight trail, and then the Sioux Line connects with us as well. So that's a straight line trail. So we hook on the Sioux Line out of Hill City. But what's nice is there's always gas bait shops along the way. If you want to go ice fishing, there is restaurants, bars, grills, etc. So there's always, you can ride, you know, there's lots of different stops in between. You can ride for 60 miles straight, or you can stop, you know, every 10 miles. So yeah, it's a great ride. There's lots of areas to ride in our area, and you're going to see everything from hardwoods to pine forests to bogs to crossing lakes, mine reclamation land. So it's really neat.
Well, it sounds like a great area, and it sounds like a busy weekend. I know you got a lot. You got to get back. You got a lot going on right now. But Megan Christensen, Visit Grand Rapids. If people want to find out more about the area up there, where can they go?
Visitgrandrapids.com.
Megan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Also, my thanks to Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, and, of course, Steve Merchant from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Thank you for listening. I'm Brett Amundson saying make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before.
Been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.